After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts which had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We'll stop there, but chapter 5 really goes on further. Isn't it beautiful? That is just majestic in what we're reading. All right, we've already covered verse 1 in the sense that we were dealing with the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ. And the door is opened in heaven, and John, as a representative of the church, is carried up in the Spirit. And the thing come up hither. And I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And you can refer that back to verse 19 of chapter 1. Of course, it's referring to things after Laodicea. So the hereafter is just has really not taken place yet. What we're seeing is future. It's still future. 1900 years after this book was written, the hereafter, but what we see here in chapter 4 of Revelation is still future. It has not taken place. And some people like to take Revelation and have all of it, but the last 2 chapters are already taken place. But this is not. This is future. And Laodicea hasn't ended yet. We're still in Laodicea. And as soon as Laodicea ends, chapter 4, verse 1 will come into effect, and the rest of it will begin to take place. Okay. And immediately, verse 2, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, I don't know how fast he flew, but immediately from earth to heaven is pretty fast. That's faster than light years. Have you ever thought about that? You talk about the immediacy of simply being right there in glory, seeing the throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. I wonder what he's sitting on the throne for. Look at 17:3. Look at Revelation 17:3 and 21:10. What do you find has to do with that throne? 17:3, carried me away to the wilderness. I saw a woman stood upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. What do you think he's going to do? I think he's going to judge. And in Revelation 17:3, 21:10. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, both these cases, verse 3, what we're talking about here is he sat on the throne for judgment. But what we have is he was in the Spirit, and he was carried away, and he sees his throne in the heaven. When you get to 17:3, well, you find he's carried away in the Spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Okay, he saw a throne in heaven. In 17:3, he's carried away in the Spirit and sees a woman. In 21:10, he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. So what we see here is a comparison of other verses showing him being carried away in the Spirit and immediately seeing these other things. That throne is for judgment, and the throne sits on it. I mean, the king sits on the throne for judgment. You'll find Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. And so he that sat upon it was to look like a jasper and a sardine stone, a rainbow round about the throne, and fight like a emerald. You looked upon him, and he's bright and flashing and brilliant as diamonds and precious stones, okay? And there was a rainbow around about the throne. You ever seen both ends of a rainbow? I've got a picture in Mexico City where I was in the expressway out on the south side of Mexico City. And I've got the picture there that shows both sides of that same rainbow. Very seldom do you see one part of a rainbow. But I've got to see the whole thing. Really, just just a brilliant, you know, it just came out of the picture. Beautiful. But here, around about the throne of God is a rainbow. Now, what does a rainbow remind you of? Yes, it reminds you of a promise, God's mercy. God's judgment, and then God's mercy after God's judgment, that God would no longer do that anymore. But, again, the rainbow has something to do with God's mercy and God's judgment. God judged the earth, and then the rainbow comes to show he'll not do it that same way again. Well, we've got a rainbow round about the throne here. And it says, in sight like unto an emerald. Now, whoever wrote this knew something about stones. I'm not that familiar with stones. I think an emerald's green, you know, but so there may be other colored emeralds. I don't know, but I know they're precious stones worth an awful lot of money. But here he's describing it. Remember, what we see in Revelation is what a man sees. And he gives you what he pictures in vision. And so here, in sight like unto an emerald. Here's this tremendous throne of God with a rainbow around about it. The one sitting upon the throne is like a brilliant stone himself, shining in all his glory, and the whole thing is like unto an emerald. And round about the throne, there were 24 seats, or maybe other thrones. There were chairs sitting round about the throne. And upon the seat, I saw 24 elders. Now, we do have a problem. Who are the 24 elders? Well, let me give you what I think they are. I believe they represent all of redeemed humanity. These are the representative men. 12 tribes of Israel, and there were 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay? You got 12 representing the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. You got 12 representing the church in the New Testament. So what we have are the redeemed of Israel and the redeemed of the church. These are the representative men of the redeemed, the leaders, the representatives showing all of redeemed humanity, the 24 elders. Notice what they are. They're sitting. They're through working. They're clothed in white raiment. They're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Ooh! They're crowns of gold. But you see, it looks to me like, and as you look at them through the thing, I think you find that fit. They are representative of redeemed humanity sitting with Christ in the midst of them and all its beauty. So they've already been to the judgment seat of Christ, and they're sitting around there wearing their crown. Now verse 5. Out of the throne proceeds lightning, thundering, and voices. Well, somebody says when it thunders, God's speaking, and the lightning is the hand of God, the finger of God. Well, here's this tremendous, beautiful throne, and the brilliant one sitting upon that throne. And around him, 12 men around here, and 12 around over here, and they're sitting as elders. And they got crowns on their head, and they're dressed in white raiment, and their own seat reigning with him. And there, all this brilliant beauty like an emerald with a rainbow round about his head, and there's lightning flashing and thunderings and voices coming out. Wow. How about that for a dramatic scene? That'll do it for you, won't it? Well, that's what it is, what it says. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Let's look at a few verses. Look at Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16. Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then Luke, what did I tell you, 3:16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. His fan in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, will gather the wheat into his garner, but chaff he will burn up with fire unquenchable. Acts chapter 2 shows the fire coming down upon them. Some people have taken, I generally take baptize you with water and baptize you with the Spirit and then baptize you with fire. I really think the fire to be judgment. And God is certainly a God of judgment. But, you know, we also have the acts of the Holy Spirit. We have the tongues of fire coming down and lighting upon the apostles there as they spoke in these unknown tongues. But we've got 7 lamps of fire. My Bible says God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Fire and lightning and brilliance and the brightness of the sun have to do with the descriptions of God. So he is some majestic being. At any rate, we've got the 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And thinking of the 7 spirits of God, That would be God that is in completeness, God in his totality, God in his diversity to be everywhere at one time as the Holy Spirit. And notice somebody else, whoever translated this, thought that they have the seven spirits of God capitalized. Spirits of God capitalized. Holy Spirit. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Hey, there is a sea of glass like unto crystal. I think it's Peter Ruckman that says that's water frozen at 0 degrees centigrade or something like that, you know, 460 degrees below zero or something, you know, absolute zero. But at any rate, what a beautiful thing. Before the throne, there's a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, these four beasts are the cherubim or seraphim. Cherub is singular. Cherubim is plural. Seraph is singular. Seraphim is plural. So I think these are the same beasts that you find in Ezekiel and you find described in the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 1, look at verses 5 through 25, and you'll see these, I think, at least some great similarities. Again, it's vision. It's what he saw. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. There's their appearance. They have the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. They sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces on their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another. Two covered their bodies. And they went everyone straight forward. Whither the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like unto burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps, and went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and the four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they went upon their four sides, and it turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes around about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went with them. When the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those went, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of a terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, and one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on his side. Everyone had two, which covered on that side, and their bodies. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and they let down their wings. Okay, they got the likeness of the throne, the appearance of a man on the throne, and so on. Let's go back to the preachers here. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. All right, it looks to me, the four beasts each had six wings. Now, I don't know whether they grew some wings between Ezekiel and Revelation. I don't know whether that's it. Or whether what Ezekiel saw, he only saw the four wings when they actually had six, but he only saw four because they weren't using two of them. And John got to see all six, okay? I'm not sure. Again, like this, in the living creatures we find in Ezekiel, each one had four faces, and here it shows one face to each one. But again, that would be the one face that was facing John that he saw, rather than seeing the other faces that were there. All right. At any rate, I think they're the same. They're full of eyes. Look at verse 6. They have six wings. They're full of eyes within. They don't ever rest. They're always glorifying God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sit on the throne and liveth forever and ever. All right. The lion stands for majesty. The calf for strength. The man for intelligence. the flying eagle betwixt. Some of the characteristics of these beasts. The lion stands for majesty, the calf for strength, the man for intelligence, and the eagle for swiftness. Now, these beings were with God. It looks like they're the same beings. Just a few things that could be what each one of them saw. They're describing what they saw. So just like the two people describing a fire, two people describing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Just read the gospel. You'll find what one saw another didn't see. And you can put them together and you see the whole side of the whole thing. So I believe that instead of four wings, they have six wings like John sees here. And I think instead of one face, they each have four faces. Just like Ezekiel saw as far as their picture of them. I believe we've got the same thing. I believe these are what we call cherubim or seraphim. And I believe Satan is known as the anointed cherub that covereth, isn't he? Isn't that a statement that applies to the devil? The anointed cherub that covereth? Well, these four are round about the throne. Where is the one that was above? You see, I don't think Satan was an angel. I believe Satan was a cherub that said. I believe he was the highest created being that God ever made. And he comes and appears as an angel of light, but the angels followed him. He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God, and that one is gone now. So we see the four faces here of these beasts, these living creatures, and the wings that they have, the eyes that they have. They see everything that's going on, and they never rest, always giving glory to God. You know, we could take a lot of characteristics from them. We ought to have our eyes open. We ought to see, and our whole purpose of being ought to be to give glory to God and live for Him as they do. But since we don't, I'm glad they do. God gets His glory at all times, no matter what you and I do. God's getting His glory. Okay, so we have these four beasts, and they give the glory to God there. And every time they begin to praise and glory and thank Him to the Lord, look what it says in verse 9, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him and set upon the throne and worship Him that liveth ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Ha ha, look at that. I mean, all of a sudden, these beings that are sitting there saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. When they begin to glory and give thanks and praise, the 24 elders, everybody says, hallelujah, glory to God. They just fall down and begin to worship Him and they cast the crowns. Isn't that beautiful? Fall down before. Worship. Oh, Lord. Cast the crowns before the throne. And what do they say? Thou art worthy. We sing it a lot around here. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now let's go on to chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, what He's calling a book, you and I would call a scroll. It wasn't a bound book such as the Bible and the book that you and I have today. They didn't bind them the same way. But it was a roll written within on the backside, on the inside and the outside. This book was there and rolled out. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, there's a question. Here is some tremendous book, and the angel wants to know who can open it. This book is sealed. It's got seals, and it's got seven seals. Did you ever count the seals on the back of your book? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, you got a good one. Count them up. 1, 2. Well, you make sure that thing don't have seven seals on it. Hey, it's got seven seals on it. I wonder why some printer who doesn't know a thing about that would put those many marks on the back of the Bible. You think that was those printers know that? You ask any printer in town, he wouldn't know that. He wouldn't think there was seven or something. But it's less. Isn't that amazing? Hey, who's going to open this book? We got a seven seal. Now, what he's got is a scroll or a roll, and on it are seven seals. Now, they may be of wax or gold or whatever, but they're sealed there. Like they would put melted wax or something over a letter or over a scroll, and they'd put the signet ring in it or some sort of design so you would know if anybody broke it because it'd have to match your ring or something. So this is a book that's sealed. It's a sealed up book. Okay? And it's sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel that who's worthy to open this book or to loose these seals? And look here. No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither look there. They couldn't open it up and read it. They couldn't open this book and see what was on the inside. They couldn't open it up to see what it had to say. Here's a closed book. Who can open it? And he said, I wept much. Man, he got into that thing, didn't he? Here's a book I can't find out. This got to be an important book, and I'm worried about it. What am I going to do about it? All right. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book. Neither looked at him. One of the elders said unto me, hey, one of those 24 came over to him. One of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hey, what happened to the Lamb? You'll find him. Hang on a minute. He'll be there. But he said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not only the Lamb, my friend. He's coming back as a Lion. He came the first time as a Lamb. He comes again as a Lion. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David. I thought he was the son of David. He's the root of David, as well as his son. Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, we're going to be reading. And notice those seven seals. As he begins to break those seven seals, and he starts there. Let me skip down a little bit. First chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. You see? What we're going to get into in the first picture of the wrath of God falling upon earth in tribulation is whenever one of those seals is broken, something happens on earth or in the heavens. Tremendous disaster. Okay. He has prevailed to open the seal. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb. He just got through calling him the Lion. But what does he look like when he looks at him? He called him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's able to do it. The root of David looked at him as a Lamb as it had been slain. A Lamb that's been sacrificed is standing in the midst. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth, the Holy Spirit. Okay? And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Every one of them, harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Hey, everybody had a harp. I'm going to be able to play a harp one day. About all I can play is a radio and a record player. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Each one of these has golden vases, beautiful vases, delicate vases of fire. And they're full of incense, odors, special smelling things. And what are they? It defines them for you. The prayers of the saints. In other words, the prayers of the saints are the odors, the incense that comes up before the throne of God. That's the prayer of the saints. By the way, you've been putting any incense before the throne today? Y'all put some up every day. Well, a little incense before the throne of God. Prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals there. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Why, Jesus told them in Matthew 6:10, keep praying thy kingdom come. That's what you're praying for right here when the king steps in to take it over. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. We're talking about millions of people saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. To receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. What a scene. Let me give you some verses to go along with it. On the book, you can take the book and look at Daniel 12, Revelation 4:2. Ezekiel 2, 9 through 10, Isaiah 29, 11. Daniel 12, Revelation 4, 2, Ezekiel 2, 9 and 10, Isaiah 29, 11. One more time. Daniel 12, Revelation 4, 2, Ezekiel 2, 9 and 10, Isaiah 29, 11. All right, there's a book. Now, they're told there's a book back there that they're told to eat. Several books that are special. Daniel is told to seal some things. And I believe what Daniel seals is what Jesus reveals. I believe it wasn't time for Daniel. Some of the things that Daniel was told to shut up, Jesus is going to reveal when he comes here, which he don't have. But anyway, we've got a book there, and the book is, people are told to eat the book, they're told to take the book and do different things with it. There are some references on the book. Now, here's the book written within and without, sealed with seven seals. And we have this strong angel saying, who's worthy? Who's worthy? And everybody looks around, and nobody was worthy except one. He said, well, who's worthy? And this elder says, why, I'll tell you who's worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. So there he is. He looked over, he saw a Lamb. You see, the Lamb is the Lion. The Lion is the Lamb. And that's what the world doesn't understand. They cannot see the Lion Jesus as the lion. They want to see him as the lamb. They like him as the lamb. Me, keeping his mouth shut, suffering and dying. They're not going to like him near as well as the lion. But you see, the first time he came as a lamb to suffer and die, he comes back as a lion to rule. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the offspring of David. He's the root of David. And notice this lion. Oh, by the way, Jesus is the judge, and he's going to prevail to open the book. There's some, I want to say John. Better check these out. Maybe Revelation. Look at 16:33. Must be the book of John. Let me check out the book of John. 5:33. Sometimes I have a hard time reading my writing, especially if it's gotten cold. All right. Yeah, it's the Gospel of John. Let me give you some references in the Gospel of John on this one. John 16:33 to prevail to open the book. Jesus is the judge. He's the one that's going to open the book in verse 5. Reference to verse 5. He has prevailed to open the book. John 16:33, John 5:22 and 27, and John, believe it is the honor of the Father. All right, so he committed all judgment to him. In John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto thee, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is the overcomer of the world. And then John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. All right, so Jesus is the judge, and he's the one that's prevailed. He can open the book, and when he opens the book, he's going to turn loose judgment. Every seal that he opens is a judgment upon the face of the earth. All right, now the horns in verse 6, the lamb as it had been slain having seven horns. The horn is the power and strength of an animal. A ram with his... Have you ever seen these Dodge Ram commercials where they got these two big rams butting their heads together? Crap, sound like a rocket shot. Looks like they'd get a pretty big headache out of that. I don't know whether they do it or not, but tremendous power there. Well, this is their way of defense and power. So this is one with seven horns, and seven's a number of completeness and perfection. So this lamb, this slain lamb in the midst who's prevailed has seven horns and seven eyes. The seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. Again, it's capitalized, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, set forth in all the earth. It's God in his Spirit in all of his diversity, the Holy Spirit, as he expressed in each and every one of us and everywhere at all times. So we have this one with the perfection of power and the perfection of wisdom and the perfection of presence in every place. Now, he is the one that takes the book out of the right hand of the one that sat on the throne. When he took the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders all fell down before him. When he takes that book in verse 8, this roll, this scroll that he has in hand, there's seven seals on it, the four beasts and 24 elders fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vases, vials, full of odors, or incense. And what are these odors that they're full of? They're the prayer of the saints. Now, let me give you a reference on prayer. Luke 11:1-13 and Luke 18:1-8. This is a reference to verse 8, the last part of it, the prayers of the saints. Luke 11:1-13 and Luke 18:1-8. I want you to think just a minute. You get it? All right. Luke chapter 11, verses 1-13. And then Luke chapter 18, verses 1-8. Now, God, how many times do you ask the Lord to straighten something out for you? Make things right. That's okay. God's going to do something. The prayers of the saints are going up in praise, sometimes in asking for judgment, sometimes in asking for God to straighten out this wicked world, sometimes for God to kill the devil and to make wrong things right. And you think of all the prayers of the saints. Well, here the Lamb reaches over and takes the book, and when he does, everything in heaven turns to him. What do those four beasts do? You tell me Christ isn't God? The Lamb isn't God? When the Lamb walks up to him that's sitting on that throne there, and that Lamb takes that thing, the four beasts fall down and worship it. The 24 elders fall down and worship it. And the prayers of the saints are poured out as incense before it. Hey, he's prevailed. The Lamb is the lion, and the Lamb and the lion are God. All right, and they got a new song. They sung a new song. He's worthy. He's worthy to open the seal because he was slain and redeemed us by his blood and all these people. This is what the four beasts and the 24 elders are saying, buy thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. What's he made us? Kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Let me give you three references there on verse 10. 2 Peter 3:13, Revelation 20,
2 Peter 3:13, Revelation 20, and Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come. What are we going to be? What are we already made? He has made us kings and priests. They're sitting around there worshiping. They're sitting around there with prayers. They're sitting around with golden vials and crowns and harps. And they're sitting around on seats with the throne. They're kings and priests reigning with the great king. And we shall reign where? On the earth. A lot of people don't believe we're coming back. But I'll tell you what, that says right there, we shall reign. Not we are reigning on the earth. Not we have reigned on the earth. We shall in the future reign on the earth. And this statement is made in the future. It's hereafter. Verse 11. All right, what we have, he begins to look around, and there's just millions of angels. All his attention has been drawn to the center stage. Here was the throne, you see, described the throne, the one that sat on the throne, the rainbow around about it, the emerald aspect, the lightning, the fire, the thunder, the 24 elders that are around about it. And then some mighty angel saying, who's worthy to open the book? And the question has gone out and we can't find anybody worthy. And all of a sudden somebody says, the lion will do it. And the lamb stands out. Everybody sees him. He walks up and he takes that book. And when he does, everything focuses on him. He grabs that book. They begin to praise him and they give this praise. And he looks about and there were angels by the book. 10,000 times 10,000. 10,000 of 1,000. 1,000 thousands is a million. So that is a bunch. Millions and millions. A good reference on verse 11 is Daniel 7:9-14. Daniel 7:9-14. And all of these millions, what are these millions of angels saying? Now the redeemed humanity sang verses 9 and 10 in praise to him. All these angels saying, worthy is the Lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. So we've got the beast. We got the 24 elders all redeemed humanity. We got the millions of angels that are round about saying, worthy is the Lamb. We got a hallelujah chorus in heaven. And then look at verse 13. And every creature is in heaven and on earth and on the earth and such as we see, all of them heard I'm saying. Hey, where's the praise coming from now? Let me tell you what, verse 13 fulfills Philippians 2:9-11. Philippians 2:9-11. Every tongue is going to confess him Lord and every knee is going to bow. Alright? So we have this tremendous chorus of praise. When he takes that book, now then, not only the beast, not only the redeemed humanity, not only the millions of angels around about, but every creature in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, everywhere saying, blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth on the throne under the Lamb forever. And the poor beast said, amen. I agree with that. Hey, I'll second that motion. Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him. Hey, you know what's taking place here? The king is taking over. Jesus Christ is no longer sitting on the right hand as the high priest anymore. Jesus is a prophet, a priest, and a king. What you have in the Gospels is Jesus as a prophet. What we know now in the epistles since the resurrection of Jesus Christ right up to this point is Jesus as a priest. But my friend, when the lion of the tribe of Judah steps forth as that lamb that had been slain with the 7 horns and the 7 eyes, and he reaches up and takes that book nobody else is worthy to touch, the king has just stepped in. Judgment has begun. And the end of time, as we know it, is upon us. The last great period of history is there. God reigning upon the earth. What a majestic setting chapters 4 and 5 is, isn't it? Wow. And they fell down and worshiped. In fact, isn't that a dramatic, majestic scene? Woo! Glory. Yes. If you'd have seen that, you'd have been fascinated and amazed. Anybody got a question? If not, we're going to stop right there. We'll get into the seals, at least 6 of them probably, next time. He's opening the book. And buddy, when he opens that book, all hell breaks loose on it. Okay. Let me go. That is it. Amen. Now,
Lord, I pray that we would not only, well, maybe just exalt tonight.
Yes.
Help us to be a witness.
Good night.